Let's turn to Psalm 7 again, brethren, and let's read just one verse, verse 8. I've titled the message, Judge the People. Judge me. Judge the people. Judge me. Verse 8 says, The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. The Lord shall judge the people. Everybody in this world is going to be brought before the judgment seat of God Almighty. Everybody in this world is. And everyone is going to be judged. And this is how we're going to be judged. According to our righteousness. And according to our integrity that is in us. Every one of us is going to be judged according to our righteousness and our integrity that is in us. Integrity, the English word is from a Latin word that means integer. It means, you know, a fraction is a divided part. An integer is a whole. Integrity means wholeness. Wholeness. Now, I spent some time this week in a courtroom, and a judge made a statement to me that stayed with me. He said, we were there as to be jurors, and he said, you are judges of the facts. I am the judge of the law. Well, the Lord before whom we all must stand, He's the judge of the law. And He is the judge of the facts. He is the judge who will judge according to the righteousness of the law. And He is the judge who looks on the heart. Not as man looks. Not as man tries to judge by the outward fact, but on the heart. Now, Titus 3:5 is very clear to us. And let's look there. Titus 3, chapter 5. And I want you to see this very clear declaration. Titus 3:5. When you think of righteousness, It means righteousness. Right works. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. You see that? Not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to His mercy He saved us. Do you see that? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. His mercy. His mercy. He saved us. That's righteousness of God. Now, He didn't sweep justice under the rug, but He showed us mercy. Now, that's righteousness. Now, here, look, here's the next part. But there's a integrity of heart that has to be. A wholeness of the heart that has to be. He says He didn't save us by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's what's done in us. In us. The righteousness that was by His mercy accomplished for us was what is the righteousness done for His people. This washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost is what He's done in His people. In His people. Now, the righteousness of the believer, we know this, is not by our obedience. That's clear. This is what the Scripture says clearly. Listen to this. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. By the obedience of one. Now the believer's wholeness, that integrity of the heart, the wholeness of the heart, it's not of our flesh. It's not of our flesh. Just as these works of righteousness are not done by our flesh. There's absolutely nothing about us as we're born into this world that's worth a cent. It's not worth anything. It don't aid anything. It don't help anything. All it does is hinder. That's all it does. Us. It doesn't hinder God. But look, but this washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, this is the new heart. And this new heart is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's created in a perfect righteousness, and it's by a perfect righteousness, and it's created by perfect holiness, by complete holiness. And it's made righteous and holy. This new man, it's Christ in you. It's the hope of glory. It's the new man created in Christ Jesus. And when that Christ is formed in you, when He's formed in a sinner, this is what we behold in Christ. Christ is made unto us righteousness and sanctification. He's our righteousness, and He is the one in whom we are holy and complete. We quit looking at ourselves altogether when we've been made a new creature in Christ. Now, notice here in our text that the righteousness, integrity, and integrity is personal. It's my righteousness and mine integrity that is in me. Now, the righteousness of the believer that's born of the Spirit of God is the Lord, my righteousness. He's my righteousness. And the integrity, the wholeness of the new man in the believer is Christ, our sanctifier, Christ, our holiness, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, all my righteousness and all my integrity that is in me is Christ, my righteousness, and Christ, my sanctification. So if I'm going to behold righteousness and integrity, I got to look at Christ, not myself, at Christ. All right, let's go back now. We looked at this last time, but I want to look at this just a little more in depth here. Look at this. Christ stood and He said this. Psalm 7, verse 8. He said, "The Lord shall judge the people." And He stood in place of His people. And He said, "Judge me, O Lord. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me." Let's talk about righteousness and integrity. Let's talk about righteousness and true holiness. Now, the law of God was broken. I want you to turn over to Romans 3. The law of God was broken by Adam. And it was broken by a man. And the law of God's got to be fulfilled by a man. Now, when Adam broke it, everybody that was in Adam broke it. So that means there ain't anybody born in Adam that can fix it. Nobody born in Adam can correct it. So God sent forth His Son, Christ Jesus, to bear the sin of His people, to satisfy His offended justice. That's what the Scriptures tell us here in Romans 3:26. I know you say, Clay, you show us this every time you preach. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. Romans 3:26. Let's look at verse 25. God hath set forth, we're talking about Christ, He set Him forth a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness. Do you see that? To declare His righteousness. Look at verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, He was set forth to manifest the righteousness of God. Look at, and to justify His people. Now, look at Isaiah 53. Go back to Isaiah 53. What is verse 5? He was wounded for our transgressions. Do you see this? He was wounded for our transgression. He was. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. That tells us who He did this for, who the us is and that we're talking about here. It's those that He healed by His own stripes. And everyone that He healed by His own stripes shall be saved. If there's a man in hell, it means that He didn't bear everybody's punishment. But He bore this. Now watch. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He bore in His own body the sins of His people. He was made a curse for His people. Now, when He laid on Him the iniquity of us all, He came to declare to God just. So God is just to pour out His wrath upon His Son because He made Him who knew no sin, He made Him sin for us who knew no sin. He made Him sin for us. So He's just to pour out His wrath upon Him. But now, I want you to see this. He says, verse 7, He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, silent. It doesn't say anything. So He opened not His mouth. He didn't say anything. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Everything man did unto Him was unjust. Everything we did to Him was unjust. Everything wicked hands did unto Him was unjust. And He didn't open His mouth. He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. The Lord put Him to grief. The Lord unleashed all hell upon Him. He allowed, you remember Job, how the Lord allowed Satan to have His way with him. And he maintained his integrity in his heart. It was the Lord who did it. It was the Lord who unleashed Satan, touched him. But it was the Lord who allowed him to. Now it says here in verse 10, that though it was wicked hands, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I know this has been a he was made. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was made the guilty one before God Almighty. Yet at the same time, he was the righteous servant of God. I know that's a mystery. I know that's a mystery. But I want you to see this. He justified his people from the law. When he was made sin, he died under the curse of the law, under the penalty of the law. He bore it and he died. He bore it. So he justified his people. We broke the law. We had to be justified from breaking it. But we got to fulfill it. We got to completely have obeyed the law and everything the law requires actively. We have to obey it. We have to fulfill all righteousness. We can't. It's not enough to be simply justified from having broken it. We've got to be made the righteousness of God, which is the righteousness of the law. It's the righteousness of God. What's the fulfillment of the whole law of God? Look at Luke 10:25. Luke 10:25. What's the fulfillment of the law? You remember this, Luke 10:25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up. This man was trying to come to God by his works of righteousness. This man was trying to come to God thinking he was whole in his own heart and serving God with all his heart and soul. Now look, he stood up and he tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord said unto him, "What's written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love." Where's love? Love's in the heart, isn't it? Love's within. Love's inside it. Love is within. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." You see that? With all of it. "With all thy soul. And with all thy strength." That's in the power and might, strength. "And with all thy mind." Now that's God who trieth the reins and the hearts, who knows the heart, who looks on the heart. Got to serve him with all your heart. "And thy neighbor as thyself." And the Lord said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." This do, and thou shalt live. Now that's the righteousness required of the law. What's required to fulfill the whole law of God? Now listen to me. Listen, hear this right here. What's required to fulfill the whole law of God? This is what's required. One must love God and his neighbor to the point of being made sin and dying under divine justice in order to declare God just and the justifier, and at the same time free his brethren from the curse of the law so they can go free. This do, and you can live. That's what we have to do. Who's done that? Who's the only one that's ever done that? Do you see how righteousness and justice are meeting together right here? What's the righteousness of the law? What's the active righteousness of the law? I've got to love God with all my heart, so much so I'm willing to be made sin, to die under the curse of the law, to free my brethren from the curse of that law, and declare God just. That's the law. You see, God didn't give a law for us to try to make ourselves righteous by it or justify ourselves by it. He gave it and allowed us to break it and sent forth His Son to keep it and to justify us from it, to show us He's the only one that's righteous. He's the only one that's righteous. God is. And when we behold Him, we behold God. We behold the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Christ the Son of God. He loved God and His brethren with integrity of heart, wholeness of the heart, until He was made sin in order to declare God just and the justifier. And He thereby justified His brethren and made His brethren the righteousness of God. And you remember whenever the Lord... Now, I want you to stay with me here. Do you remember when the Lord was... Whenever He was come out of the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldiers came to arrest Him. Remember what the Lord said to the soldiers. Judas came out, betrayed Him with a kiss. The soldiers came forth to arrest Him. And He said this. He said, "You can take me. Let these my brethren go. You can't take them. You can take me, but let them go." And when all the fury of hell was unleashed upon Him, when all the injustice of men and all the... And God turned His back, as it were, on His Son. As He was laying down His life so that His children could go free and God would be just, this was the righteousness and the integrity of His heart. He was saying, "Lord, judge the people. Judge me according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me." He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet He did not open His mouth. Not to try to free Himself from that. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and He didn't open His mouth. Why? He loved God and He loved His brethren. He did it to fulfill all righteousness and because He is that righteous, holy one. He did that on behalf of His people. Now, doing so, He satisfied justice and He fulfilled the whole law. And the Lord was satisfied with the righteousness of His dear Son, satisfied with His holiness. And He raised Him from the dead. Now, when He calls a sinner and we're created anew in the Spirit and the Spirit enters in, Christ enters in and He makes us to behold Him who is our righteousness and who is our holiness by His presence in our heart, by His coming in and taking hold of our heart, by His coming in and making us all together a new creation, a new man. I'm not talking about the old. I'm talking about a new man in spirit. A new man created in Christ Jesus. Created in righteousness and true holiness. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When He comes in and does this, brethren, the completeness of the new man, the completeness of the new heart is we stop trying to defend ourselves. We stop trying to open our mouth. We stop now our righteousness. Our holiness is Christ Jesus alone. It's Him alone. And this Spirit of Christ in the believer, it makes this new man have a spirit like our Father, have a spirit like our Master. We're strengthened by Him. We're kept by Him. We're led by Him. We walk in His Spirit. And this is what He does. Every time He ever lives to make intercession for us, every time the Pharisees, unrighteous men, wicked men, try to lay a charge to one of His own, He says in the presence of God, He is God. He says of Himself, "Judge the people. O Lord, judge me according to my righteousness, according to the integrity that is in me." So that He won't charge His people. He will not allow anyone else to charge His people. He will not let Satan, the accuser of the brethren, and all his merry band of wicked pranksters, He won't let them bring His people into condemnation. He will not do it. Christ will not allow it. Now, we have this old man within us. Look over at Galatians now. Galatians. I want you to see something. Look back there at Luke 10. Luke 10. After we back there where that lawyer stood up and said that, whenever the Lord said that to him, it said, verse 29, "He willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who's my neighbor?" He trying to justify me. And he said, "Who's my neighbor?" And the Lord gives him this parable here of a man that's he's left for dead, this man is. And a priest passed by him and wouldn't have anything to do with him. And a Levite passed by him and wouldn't have anything to do with him. But a certain Samaritan came to him, and he saw him. And he had compassion on him. And he went to him. And he bound up his wounds. And he poured in oil and wine. And he set him on his own beast. And he brought him to an inn. And he took care of him. And he told the one that was at the inn, he gave him 2 pence. And he said, "You take care of him. And whatever you spend more than this, I'll repay you. I'll come again and I'll repay you." He said to that lawyer, he said, "Now which one of these three, the priest that passed by him on the other side, religion isn't going to help us. And the Levite that passed by on the other side, the law's not going to help us. But this one who came and bound up the wounds and poured in the oil and wine and set him on his own beast and took him to an inn and provided all the funding necessary to take care of this poor one that had been left for dead and said to the host of the inn, 'I'm coming again, and when I come again, I'm going to pay you whatever more you spent, I'll pay you again.'" That's exactly what Christ Jesus the Lord did. Exactly what Christ Jesus the Lord did. Exactly what Christ Jesus the Lord has done. And the Lord turned to him and he said, "Now let me ask you a question. Which of these was neighbor to him?" Which of these three was neighbor to him? And the man said, verse 37, "I guess it was him that showed mercy on him." You see, God satisfied his own justice. God fulfilled his own righteousness that he might show us mercy. And you know what the Lord said to that man? He said, "Then said Jesus unto him, 'Go and do thou likewise.'" Instead of showing judgment, show mercy. Go do likewise. Go do likewise. Instead of showing judgment, show mercy. Now look at Galatians 6. The natural man will bite and will devour. The natural man will bite and will devour. He's going to point. He's going to accuse. He's going to use everything that the believer holds dear to do so. He's going to compare John's disciples with with his own disciples as if they're one and say, why don't you and your disciples do like John and us do? When he's not even one with John and us. That's what the Pharisees are going to do. That's what natural men did to our Lord and his disciples. And that's what natural men do today. They show judgment, not mercy. Judgment and not mercy. Look at Galatians 5. Let me see here. Look at verse 29. As then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. You see that? That was the, he's using the, going back and looking there at that one that was born of the bondwoman in Abraham's day, of Abraham's flesh, and that one that was born of the free woman. One's a picture of a child of grace born of the Spirit of God by promise. The other one's a spirit of a man born of the flesh. And as it was in that day, he that was of the flesh persecuted him that was born of the Spirit, even so it is now. But now, look over here now at, I'm sorry, Galatians, that was Galatians 4:29. Look over here now at Galatians 5. Galatians 4:31. Stand, so then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We've been born of the Spirit of God. We're freed from the law. We're showing mercy now. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You see, he's taken the accuser away. He's taken all reason to be accused away because he himself put himself in that place. And he's freed us from that yoke of bondage. And he says here, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back under that yoke of bondage. Look down at verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How'd Christ do that? He trusted God, and he laid down his life for his brethren. He bore their burden. How do we do that? We can't do what Christ did. All we have to do is believe on Christ and not take that burden and put it back on our brethren, but do what the Lord told that lawyer. Now you go forth and you show mercy. Just like that good Samaritan did. You go forth and you show mercy. But, look at verse 15. If you bite and devour one another, that's what dogs do. That's what the concision does. That's what men who are trying to make somebody righteous and somebody holy by cutting them and cutting themselves and constraining them and laying accusations to them and compelling them, making them to do that which they deem to be righteous and holy. They bite and devour one another. And Paul says, if you bite and devour one another, if you don't show mercy to one another, if you show judgment rather than mercy, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. The Lord said of the Pharisee, beware of the leaven of the Pharisee. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It takes the whole batch of dough and makes it rise up. Rise up. And when dogs rise up and start fighting with each other, they don't stop till they consumed each other. Now that's what you and I are in our flesh. And the believer born of the Spirit of God hates it, abhors it. In ourselves, I'm talking about. We hate it. We absolutely hate it. We don't like the self-righteous old man that's within us anymore. We hate that old man. I despise that old man in me. You know what's extremely difficult? Go home and try this. Go home and try to point your finger at somebody and have your hands full at the same time. It's nearly impossible. Nearly impossible. You see, while the Pharisees busy pointing at somebody else and saying, you ought to be doing this, and you ought to be doing that, and you ought to be doing the other, and you ought to be doing that, and you ought to be doing that. You know what God's people are doing that He's helped carrying by the strength of His Spirit and causing us to walk in Spirit? You know what they're doing? They got their hands open and they're doing everything that the self-righteous man is saying, y'all ought to be doing. And while the self-righteous man is busy pointing and saying, you ought to be doing that, he's the only one that ain't doing anything. And the believer is doing everything. Doing everything. He's doing everything. Listen. If you want to bring somebody home and entertain strangers, as the Lord says we ought to do, do it. Do it. But don't try to make your brother and sister do it. You do it. I do it. You wanna give to your needy brethren? You want to give to poor folks in your community or wherever? Do it. Don't try to make your brethren do it. You want to give of with what God's prospered you with, so that you can support the preaching of the gospel and the work of God's grace in this place. Do it, but don't try to make your brethren do it. The moment we start trying to make somebody else do, we'll cease dealing in mercy and we start dealing in judgment. That's so. That's what we are in our flesh. Whatever it is that God's given, and this is what we can trust. This is what I know for a fact. The Spirit of God makes His people willing. Makes His people willing to do all these things so that I don't have to make His children willing or try to constrain them to do. And neither do you. We don't have to do that. And when we see somebody that we don't think is doing what we think they ought to be doing, and sadly, that eye offends us constantly, we need to pluck that thing out. It offends us constantly. But when we see somebody else not doing as we think they ought to be doing, we need to remember this. The Lord said, judge me according to my righteousness and mine integrity that's in me, and let these, my brethren, go. Let them alone. So, if we want to look at somebody and say, I don't think that brother, that sister's doing what they ought to do, the Lord says, look at me. Judge me. Judge me. You know what James said? We become judges of our brethren. We cease to be doers of the law and we become judges of the law. There's only one judge of the law. He's the judge of the law and he's the judge of the acts. He is. He judges not as man seeth, but according to the heart that he's made, and he upholds the upright heart he's made. And so, by his grace, when we are overtaken in that fault, or if another's overtaken in that fault, he says in verse 1, ye which are spiritual, you which are walking in the Spirit. We're always in the Spirit. The believer's always in the Spirit. And we're always being led of the Spirit. But we err. We have that old man and it falls into error constantly. And this is the fault Paul's dealing with here, is biting and devouring one another. So, if a man bites and tries to devour me, if he's overtaken in that fault, trying to bring me back under the yoke and compel me and constrain me and make me do something, my brother, my sister, what do I do? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. What restores you? I'm going to give you three places to look up restore. In Isaiah 43, the Lord said the problem in Israel was there was none that said restore. If you want to see what that problem was, all you got to do is look at what it was like when Christ came and walked this earth. How did men and how did religious men treat him? Nobody was saying restore, oppressing, binding, yoking. Look in Psalm 69. He said, I think it's Psalm 69. He said, I restored that which I took not away. And by his Spirit, he says to us right here, now you restore. You restore. Restore. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What does that mean to? What am I doing? Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Remember what the Lord told that lawyer? Go and do. Do what? Show mercy. Go and show mercy. That's the law of Christ. In the hearts of his people, go and show mercy. Well, why do we need to remember that? For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. He deceives himself. What's the Lord going to say in the last day? You know what he's going to say of all his people in the last day? There's going to be a whole congregation. All the people's going to be gathered. There's going to be the assembly of the wicked, and there's going to be the congregation of the righteous. They're all going to be assembled before him in the day of judgment. And you know what he's going to say of these people for whom he bore judgment, for whom he fulfilled righteousness, those who he's given this heart to know he is our righteousness and holiness. You know what he's going to say of them? He's going to say, their righteousness is of me. Now, where do you want to stand in that day? Do you want to stand in your own works of righteousness, in your own so-called holiness and completeness of our own heart? Or do we want to stand in Christ, our righteousness and our holiness? May I be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of him, the righteousness which is by faith. That's where I want to stand. My defense is of God, who upholds the upright in heart. I believe he'll do that. Amen.